There are so many good things I could say about Rob. I just really think that we're in for a treat this morning. I've known Rob for probably about 6 years. He is a counselor who works at Life Counseling in Easton. He's an ordained pastor at Oasis Covenant Church in Easton. He's a very, very effective counselor. Wendy and I, he fixed our marriage, that's for sure, along with God. And if he can untangle that mess, then he can help anyone. I'm just going to be very honest about that. He and the Lord saved our marriage. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And so this morning, I would like for you to give him a standard gateway welcome.
I remembered to turn it on. Am I working? Yeah, I think so. Thank you, Mark. Am I on yet? Can you guys hear me? Okay, I don't care if I'm on. You're going to hear me. I have to tell you, after the worship, I'm ready to go get some lunch and just relax. I feel like the presence of God has already spoken to some of us this morning. I appreciate Mark's introduction. He wasn't aware of the qualifications that Tim also put on me for being here. He was looking for someone who doesn't have hair, who also tends to cry during preaching, and who loves this church. Last time I was here, Dan Moeller spoke. And the neat thing is, like my church, some of you are sitting in the exact same place you were when he came to speak. But what I would like to do that Dan was willing to bring, and I appreciate his ministry, I want to bring a word of encouragement to you this morning. I know of the history of this church. 5 years ago, I had never met a Mennonite or an Amish. I knew some Delaware folks, but that was about it. And God has blessed me with getting to meet you and to understand and to learn your culture. And you know what? All of us need Jesus. Amen. We're all in the same boat. That's right. We look different and we sound different, and we all need Jesus. So I want us to walk through an old but familiar story this morning that maybe Jesus may bring some new light and some new teaching. So we're going to be talking about, if any of you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to be walking through David and Goliath this morning. Has it been a while since you've been in that story? I bet if you're a Sunday school teacher, you probably are there. But I realized recently some of the richest stories of wisdom in the Old Testament, we kind of leave to the Sunday school teachers. Or we think we've heard the story so much that we probably got all out of it that we can. And I want to tell you, I was blessed more this week in preparation than maybe you will even be blessed this morning. Because God's word is perfect and it's permanent. And the lessons that we take from the Old Testament about how much we need Jesus are just as real today. So my goal is not to take you back into the land of legalism. My understanding is this church has been released from all that. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so we're not going back to the land of legalism. We're going to sing more about the freedom that's available that we already sung about this morning. We're going to look at some of the steps it's going to take for some of us to obtain that freedom and to walk into new places that you haven't tasted yet. Because I can tell you there is a place of freedom that you could be in Christ that is free indeed. Let's see what the word has to say to us. We're going to start with verse 1 and get familiar with this story. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. That's a good question. How could he walk? Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Well, my first question is, what happened to the Israelites? Wasn't this the same people that God had delivered time and time again from the time they first crossed over into the promised land? Had they not faced giants and people that were large and people that were beyond their ability to beat? Didn't their history teach them that their God was bigger than their problem? So what happened to them? They forgot who they were. They forgot their history. They forgot where they came from. From the time of Joshua, God has said, "Fear not. I am your God. I will overcome whatever is in front of you, and I will take the land for you, that you would walk in and be free." And somewhere along the way, they forgot who they were. I think that's a common problem today, isn't it? When we're facing our problem, we get focused on a man or a woman. See, I do marriage counseling too, so some of this is going to slip in. Sometimes we get focused on a man or a woman and we forget the size of our God and who's in charge. One of the things my pastor likes to say is when we focus on the size of the man, we forget the size of our God. Maybe you're doing that today. Let's take a look at who was it said? Bless your heart. Like, how could he walk? Let's take a look at, let's go back one. I'll cue you up. We're going to learn how to do this as we go along because I don't have my clicker this morning, so we're going to see. This is, I looked up these terms and how much a shekel is and that kind of thing. Apparently, this is what this nearly nine-foot man walked around with. So when we say he faced a giant, we want to realize this was real. This was a man this size carrying a spearhead weighing 15 pounds, and he was powerful and arrogant, defiant, and he was determined to call you out. Sometimes the enemy gets in your face, doesn't he? Yes. He's determined that your faith is going to be challenged one way or the other. The good news is we get to decide what to do with that. We're not helpless and we're not hopeless. And whatever situation you're in, you're not helpless and you're not hopeless. Let's see what David brings to the table. Next slide, sorry. Now, until you get to those last two, it doesn't look too impressive, does it? No. Well, let me tell you what I found out in about 8 years of counseling. Apart from that last one, I'm not too impressive. Now, can you say that about yourself? I'm not talking about false humility. I'm not talking about beating yourself up. Let's deal in the truth. Apart from Christ, we're not all that impressive. I have a testimony that lives that out. Some of you know me. Apart from Christ, I am selfish, self-centered, and will seek after whatever it takes for me to feel good about myself. Apart from Christ, that's my testimony. But in Him, I can do all things. Amen. John Piper said, if I don't fully embrace the depravity of my sin and how weak I am as a man, I will never fully embrace the power of the cross. If I think I bring anything to the table that is worth something, then I miss out what He's going to add to it. If I sound sharp this morning, it's not because I'm angry. It's because I want you to get it. Amen. I want you to get this. Let's keep reading. I want God's word to preach more than I preach this morning. Picking up at verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, again, Jesse was David's father. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers face and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with him, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Coming up from the armies of the Philistines, he spoke according to the same word. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen the man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him father's exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Stop there. Let's see. We're beginning to see a battle behind the battle. If you look back, not at this moment, we're not going to look back, but if you look back to the previous chapter, when Samuel the prophet went to David's father, Jesse, he said, bring your sons before me that the Lord may choose a king. And do you remember that David did not even make that lineup? He wasn't even called. See, there's some serious sibling rivalry. Now, you talk about a good Father's Day message. Here's a little one. Your youngest son's still your son. Even if he doesn't act like the rest of your sons, he's still your son. I don't know who that's for, but just drink on that. So David had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. How many youngest sons are here, by the way, today? Okay, there's a few. I bet there's been times in your life when you had a little bit of chip on your shoulder wanting to prove that you were as good as your brothers. And I'm saying that's okay. Use that. Don't use it in bitterness and frustration. But use it as motivation. Because God's called you into sonship like he called everybody else. Now, what they didn't like was the fact that there was something about David. First of all, they were also there when he was anointed. So they got some jealousy going on. David decided to step away from, now get this, David decided to step away from the message that his father and his brothers were delivering, and he stepped into what God had called him. Some of us need to step away from the messages that we heard as children. We need to step away from that message. We need to put it to death and step into the message and the calling that God currently has for us. And I don't say that lightly, because for some of us, it's ingrained in our soul. Those messages run deep, and they speak to our value as human beings. And I say to you that God has a different message for you. Now, since we're speaking to dads, I'm going to go off here for a second. Dads, until our Heavenly Father can speak to your child directly through his word and through his spirit, until the Heavenly Father can speak to your child, guess who God is? It's you. The words that you speak to your son speak life or death. Speak life into your sons. If they do it different than you do it, then teach them to do it the best way they can, the way they do it. They don't have to conform to me. I have a 23-year-old daughter now. You know, I kind of had the best of both worlds. I had one daughter, beautiful daughter, but she played softball like a boy, so it was really cool. I kind of got both. But you know what? To teach a daughter to do things different than I, it's about us appreciating and realizing that we are God's voice and his representation until we launch them into God's service. Some of those messages need to be dismissed. They need to be sent away. Oh, by the way, one last thing. David was getting sick and tired of what he was hearing. He was getting sick and tired of somebody speaking against the Lord God, his Heavenly Father. He was getting tired of it. Some of you are facing issues and you're facing giants in your life. You're facing stuff that you keep hearing. You need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and start to do something about it. Some of us are waiting for somebody else to change before we change. God says, you change, I'll change you. Come to me and I'll change you. Let's not worry so much about them. So David got a little motivation because he was sick and tired. Is there anything you guys are sick and tired of in your life? Now, don't mention any names, please. I'm not inviting a slugfest here. But is there certain things that you're sick and tired of? Because God's calling us into freedom. But it begins in the mirror. I really believe that. I believe we always are empowered by Christ to make changes in our attitude and our actions that will affect changes in our environment. That's right. Yes. Because one thing I've learned in 26 years of marriage and 8 years of counseling, I can't change anybody. Nope. Right? Nope. Right. Let her preach to you for a while. You'll get a better message. But you know what she did do? She hung on until she got a better man.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can hang on.
Yes, you can.
Let's go back to the word. Verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against the Philistine to fight, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." That's awesome. Just picture that. "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." I love it. And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." You know, we get so many folks who are trying to, it's almost like these wonderful young people up here. You know, Lord just gave me a picture. Our heart is for them to be safe, and God's heart is for them to be bold. Isn't that funny? God's like, "I'll take care of them. I want them to be bold." And as parents, we want him to be safe. And I get that. So Saul, who had an affection for David, remember when Saul had headaches and when a spirit came upon him, he would call David, and David would play his instrument, and his heart would be soothed. So from Saul's perspective, this was a young kid who plays music to soothe me. He didn't see what God sees. Oh, now you see what the enemy's going to do right now? Same one. It probably is. So I do give Saul credit for one thing. When he realized that the Spirit of the Lord was with this young man, he got behind him. When you recognize when the Spirit of the Lord is with someone around you, support them. Refrain from your correction. Just encourage them. They may not do it the way you do it. They may not pray the way you prayed. I believe God honors boldness as much as anything. I just turned 50 last year, right? I don't remember when. I just remember it was a pretty big deal. That's what I remember. And the Lord started a refrain in my spirit. I just kept hearing these words over and over again. I would rather get out of the boat and drown than sit in the boat. I want to be a Peter. I want to be fearless. If I drown, then I drown in the name of the Lord, and he takes me to heaven and I dry off. Great. But there's a spirit about that. Peter, to this day, as foolish as he was and as many mistakes as he made, he's still the only guy that I know that got to walk on water. That's got to be a cool story in heaven, right? Amen. See, I think we all have bold opportunities like that, not just in witnessing, but just in stepping out by faith. This is a church that's been grounded. Even in the trials and tribulations, you have been grounded by faith. Amen. Don't lose that. Don't settle for just the same old, same old. You don't get a miracle unless you have a tragedy. That's been my life. I've had both. Look, see, my little friend left. I appreciate that. Let's look at some of the principles that we see in David here. As he was talking to Saul, here's what he was doing. He was remembering the Lord's power for his strength, and he was remembering his experience to build his faith. All of you have experiences with God that you can think back on and gain your strength. And if you don't have any, then come talk to me and we'll make some. God can do this. There have been places in your life that he has shown himself to be faithful, and some of you, in the face of what you're looking at now, you forgot how good he is and what he can do. And that's the human condition. That's the Israelites, isn't it? They just kept forgetting what he could do. So he used his experience to build his faith. And next slide. And he does this with us. He uses our experience and even our pain to create a passion for our calling so that we may walk in his anointing. If a man is anointed, it has been burned, as David Wilkerson said, it has been burned in the fires of anguish. Some of you are in anguish, but your anguish hasn't spurred you to activity. Your anguish has just shut you down. It's made you lose hope. Anguish, when it's stirred, becomes anger, righteous anger. And then you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you decide that in the Lord's might today, I'm going to do something about it. That's how change is affected. I'm not talking about emotionalism here, folks. I'm not talking about you, apart from God, trying to get yourself all fired up and going out and doing it. Because I've been there and done that. I've started 150,000 different diets that ended 2 months later. It's not about emotionalism. It's about remembering. Let's go back and do some more reading. Verse 38. Getting to the good part now. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. Couldn't walk in it. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took off his staff. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. This part is where the Father's Day message comes in. Some of us have to decide to move beyond our mentors, our fathers, our teachers. God may be calling us into places that Pastor Tim's never been, that I've never been. Maybe your mom and dad and your Sunday school teacher's never been. Don't restrict your service to the Lord by where somebody else has been called. Hear the Lord's calling. And if you're one of those mentors, if you're one of those teachers or fathers or mothers, as I said earlier, that child is a child of the Lord. They're not going to do it like you. And that's okay. When I looked at those young people who were going to be ministering up here, the first thing that came to mind is, I couldn't do that. It's not my call. These young people, and something about those guys over there, were over here, they're going to be able to get in conversations with other young people and talk about the Lord, that if somebody saw me coming with my gray beard, would run the other way. It's just true. There's a calling. So I didn't know if I was going to share this coming over, but is this being recorded? Okay. No. God wants to use this church to free a darkened place. Amen. And he wants you to release the young people to minister in a way that doesn't look like the old way. Yes. It is a way of freedom and encouragement. It is not based so much on the law, but it is emphasizing grace. And he wants to use this church to enlighten an area. Do you hear me, young people? You've been freed by grace. You have an anointing on you. You have an anointing on you. Be bold. Be fearless. Be fearless. If the Lord tells you to go talk to somebody, then you go talk to him. If he gives you an odd word for him that you don't think makes any sense, go tell him anyway. I'm glad you're sitting up here, because I thought it when I was sitting over there, and I couldn't see you, but it's all over you. God has anointed young people. Now, it doesn't mean that we get left out, okay? We still have a useful purpose. We need to encourage them and equip them and maybe even finance them. But that's what God's called us to do. It's the next generation. And that's hard for a man who just handed his daughter off to a Marine 2 years ago. Okay, I'm still going through the transition of that. So I'm preaching the gospel to myself because that's what we're supposed to do. All right. Because here's what we need to remember, folks. God will use their experiences and even their pain to create a passion for their calling so that they will walk in his anointing. Don't ever believe that any of your children's pain goes wasted by God. I'm not here to tell you that God creates their pain. I am here to tell you that he uses every piece of it for ministry in his name. Amen. Because there are certain people in counseling that I cannot speak to because I don't have their pain. But somebody does. My wife speaks to spouses who are in recovery from spouses, from the lost prodigals. My wife helps them, and she can speak to them and say things to them that just amazes me because she has their pain. You hear what I'm saying? So don't run away from your pain. Seek God for how he wants to use it. If it hasn't been healed yet, take care of that first. But then say, God, if you let me go through this, if you let me endure all this, I almost said not a good church word, crap stuff. If you let me go through all this stuff, then why? What do you have for me, God? How do you want me to use it to help somebody else? If you can find a purpose in your pain, you will gain victory in your life. Because pain is either going to kill you or it's going to energize you. Yes. And once you walk through the healing of it with some helpful folks, you can be launched into ministry and you can have a message and a word that nobody else can touch. So don't think that your pain is wasted on anything. That's what the enemy wants you to think. And this morning, we're not going to give weight to the enemy's words. Let's finish this up. What verse did I stop at? Thank you. Good. Now we're in the rocky part of this. This is good. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from me. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine came across, arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. I love this story. It gets me fired up every time. Does it fire you guys up at all?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the picture of these two. David went out and look, it was a journey. It was a journey that he took with he and the Lord. He couldn't even depend on the people around him. Because even the ones who were hoping that he would do well were inwardly believing that he was going to fail. He could not stand on the faith of other people. Have you ever been at a place in your life where you look around and you don't see any faith?
Yes.
Okay, that's when you're closest to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you're not relying on the faith of other people. You know, you can hope it's there, But don't rely on it, because faith is fleeting with most of us. We're all weak, right? Our minds get persuaded into believing lies. But if you are alone, it is Christ alone who can draw you near. Let's look at some of the principles here. We know that he did what most of us won't do. He initiated. Remember, he ran. When he saw the battle, he didn't like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do here. It wasn't one of these. He was geared up and said, I want you. He didn't ignore the problem. He didn't act like it didn't exist. He didn't wait for somebody else to solve it. So let me say something to you. If you've got a problem in your life, and I'm not talking about people problem, I'm talking about heart problem. If you got a heart problem, if you got a bad attitude, if you got bitterness and unforgiveness, then take the battle to what ails you. Because if you don't fix that, it really won't matter what else is going on. Now, I didn't get any amens on that. Because either you guys don't suffer from it or nobody wants to fess up to it. I'm not sure which one it is. Okay, thank you, sister. The other thing is his strength to do this, it came from the truth. He reminded himself that this is the Lord's battle. He was humble enough to know that he couldn't beat this giant on his own, but he was spiritually powerful enough to know that in Christ I can do all things. I'm going to amen myself on that. Amen. In Christ, let's say it. In Christ, I can do all things. And here's the thing about coming to preach at a place where you know a lot of people. I know some of you are doubting what we just said. Do not be discouraged. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than your weakness. So don't hear this as a teaching of condemnation because you're not where you're supposed to be. You can do all things through Christ. Even if you haven't done it yet, you can still do it. You just haven't walked in it. This woman, can't look at her. This woman waited almost 10 years for me and Christ to have our little talk. Smackdown, whatever you want to call it. She waited almost 10 years. That's why her message of endurance speaks to women that I can't speak to. But I'm here to tell you that if any of you think you are so far gone and so lost and have just gotten so far off the wagon that God can't redeem you and change you, then you and I need to have a conversation. Because what Paul says, I am the least of these, I claim that. Not proudly, but I live in the truth. If God can do in my life, there was a time in my life where my God was my need to make money and my need to pursue the affections and the attention of a woman. Those were my gods. They were born out of issues of childhood, out of abandonment, and they were also connected to an undiagnosed bipolar disorder. Which I was told, by the way, you can't be cured from. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I stand before you like the blind man when the Pharisee says, by whose authority were you healed? The blind man said, I don't know. You got to ask him because all I know is before I was blind, now I can see. It is possible, but I will say to you, it also includes some hard work. I couldn't change me, but I continue to labor each day to hold on to what God's given me. So this is not a battle in which God does all the work, but God will initiate the work and then challenge you to join him. See, God laid the field. He set the battle up. He did everything, but David had to put the stone in the sling and he had to throw it. Some of us are waiting for God to even throw the sling. That cross has blood on it. What more does my king need to do that I might have life. What more does he have to do? And I say nothing. We have to believe, and we have to walk by faith. And one thing I've learned about this community, and I'm going to speak just to the men for a second, you all don't particularly like walking together. The men here were trained up to walk by yourself. That's how you were raised, and that's how you were trained up. I'm not here to give you a hard time about it, but I'm suggesting to you that walking alone is a journey to death. Amen. You will not be enlightened. You will not find new life. You will not become the new man you like to be if you maintain this separateness and this aloneness. You must seek other men to join you, because none of us are strong enough. The enemy will pick us off like a weak lamb and slaughter us. And I lived there for 10 years. I know the story. I know, and I have been privileged to be with hundreds of men who have moved from isolation to collaboration. And you know what? We don't have to do it perfect, but we do it together. So if you're a man who's living in isolation, maybe this message is for you. When it comes time to pray, first come down and get out of your isolation and come down and pray and ask Jesus for a new beginning. Because he is a God of new beginnings. He is not satisfied with us being alone and dejected and living the way we are. I'm not talking about just your sinfulness, folks. I'm talking about reaping the blessings of God, of joining in fellowship with him. This is not, I know I keep saying this, this is not a message of condemnation. I want to inspire you. I want you to realize that there is so much more to drink from than what this world offers. I have tasted from the dirty wells, and it killed me. The money and success and the adoration of other people, and especially of a woman. I made a woman my God. And she was not designed to be men. She was not designed to be your God, either in the household or on the pornography pages or on the television. She was not designed for you to bow down and to lust for her and to give her more attention than you do your Jesus. I do not want to condemn you. I want to invite you to drink from something different. Guard your eyes. Don't allow your heart and your spirit to rest on the person of another woman. Don't allow yourself to rest there. It is poison. It is to death. Okay, now if I don't encourage you, you're going to feel like you've just been beat up. Didn't the Lord say that that he was to release his spirit, that we would walk in spirit and in truth? Well, this is the truth. Guys, maybe this is a Father's Day message too. I was trying not to make a Father's Day message, but there's so many messages for us men. We have never been inundated and overwhelmed with visualization that we have today in this culture. We've never had so many people trying to attack our manhood and attack what has our attention and our energy. And guys, you got to get ticked off the way David did and realize that somebody is trying to steal your family and steal your legacy and steal your testimony to your children. You got to get ticked off with that. Don't allow him to steal it. And if you don't know how to do it, then praise God. Then let's help each other do it. Because I haven't met a man yet who does it perfectly by himself. We all need each other. All right, now let's finish up. Last couple verses. It's important. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and threw it, took his sword and drew it out and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. If leaving here today, after your time of prayer and hearing from God and giving him some things, if you will begin to take aim at the largest issue in your life, I promise you the rest of the things will begin to diminish in their power. If you can kill the giant, if you can kill Goliath, whatever Goliath is in your life, these other issues will not have the power that they do. They'll flee. If you were like me, I had a Goliath in my life, and I could not overpower him. I took medication. I took 9 years of counseling. I did everything that I was told to do except heal. It wasn't until I was brought to utter destruction, and I pray that's not necessary for most of you, but then again, also pray whatever it takes. You have weapons. We have weapons that don't look like a sword. They don't look like a stone. That as believers, we have been given. I don't believe, and it's been confirmed standing here amongst you and in worship time, I don't believe the biggest giants that we have to slay are external. I don't believe the biggest giants that we face in our lives are other people. I believe it's in here, or it's in here. If we can begin to take aim at those lies that we have come to believe, or the attitudes that we've adopted, if we can take aim at those and seek Christ for healing, it's like putting on a different set of glasses when you wake up in the morning. So as we head into our prayer time, we have been anointed and empowered. We have been appointed by God in daily service, and we are blessed in our obedience. So if the music team could make your way up. So I guess my question is, what is God saying to you today? What is it that he wants to remove? What is it he wants to remove from your life? We know that in a time of worship, the presence of God is here, right? It begins with a heart change. It begins with remembering who he is and who we are. So we want to just begin playing some music, and I know this is a praying church. I know you're used to bringing things before the Lord. If you need to come up and lay something down up here, we want to invite you to do that. Now is the time. You don't have to have all your equipment. You don't have to have a strategy. The only thing I'm saying to you is, if you've got something in your life that you have not had success in, first let's lay it down at the altar. And then we'll get some help in how to pick it up and work with it if we need to going forward. Maybe it just needs to lay down here.
Stand.